Everyone is looking for love. And they're desperate to find it. We must show them love. We must introduce them to love, to Jesus. To Jesus. For this is true revival. Love is all they need. Everlasting love. Rise up and go and show them love, revival love, supernatural love. Jesus is love.
Well, hello there and welcome to Everlasting Love. I have a message for you today that you're either going to really love or really hate. You won't be able to just sit on the fence with this one, I don't think, because it's about the discipline of the Lord. And you know, we don't hear too much in the body of Christ about this subject. I can't remember the last time when I heard a message preached on the discipline of the Lord. But just recently, I was out for dinner with some friends, and we were talking about a number of different leaders over the years, actually, who had actually fallen into sin while they were leading the body. And that many of their stories was that they weren't treated very well by the body after they had fallen. And, you know, that can be a really hurtful thing when you're, you know, when you're a leader, you make a mistake. Unfortunately, when you have a big sphere of influence and you fall, that whole sphere of influence is affected. And so it goes public. Everybody knows everything about that sin. Whereas if you have a smaller, you know, sphere of influence, it's a little bit more hidden because it only infects that smaller realm. Okay, so as you know, there have been many leaders who have fallen over the years. In fact, some of them have been quite public. We've seen it on media where the names of well-known ministers who have you know, made mistakes, who have sinned, who have been living double lives, got exposed. And I'm just going to say this. You always will get exposed eventually. It says that your sin will be shouted from the rooftops. And today, when there's so much media, a lot of the rooftops is those satellite dishes up there, and it'll get broadcast all over TV, social media, whatever, and the whole world will hear about it really quickly. And so it's really important that we live our lives the way God wants us to live. So when we're thinking about this whole subject of discipline, I want to just zero in on some things because God gave me a little scenario after I had this dinner that night with my friends, and we were talking about how badly people were being treated after they had fallen and how they were isolated and how people were mean to them and stuff like that. And I thought, Lord, that's not right. You know, we've got to be loving. We've got to be kind. And I was on my way home later, and through my mind, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. He said, I want to speak to you about the whole subject of what happens when a leader falls or when a member of my body falls. He said, it's really important that discipline is implemented. And sometimes I purposely, that's right, on purpose, I isolate those people. And I thought, what? And he says, and sometimes I allow the anger, the hurt, the feelings of betrayal that are in the body to be made known to that leader so that they will come into a discipline. And I thought, wow, okay, I want to hear more. So then he gave me this scenario about when I was raising my sons. Ron and I have two boys. And sometimes, I mean, believe it or not, they're not always little angels. And I remember one time in particular, my older son was fighting my younger son, and he was beating on him, and I could hear this commotion and this yelling and not so good language coming out of the living room. And I went into the living room to see what was going on, and there he was, I mean, just beating on my younger son, and my youngest son was calling for help. And so I went in there, and I said to my oldest son, stop that right now, stop it. And he was all upset and angry about something, and he again said some words that weren't good, and it brought disturbance to the whole house. You need to understand that the peace of our home was lost through the transgression of my older son. So I separated the two boys. I took my oldest son, who was definitely at fault there, and put him into his room. And I said, you wait here, and I'm grounding you. I know that you were getting ready to go out tonight, but you're not going out tonight. I'm going to ground you in this room. You stay here until I get back. So I put him in his room, and he wasn't happy. He was all upset in there. And I went back to my younger son, and I had to comfort him. I had to hear his story, and he was upset, and he was crying, and he was really disturbed by what had happened, so I got the whole scoop, and I had to walk through the whole process with my younger son. He was hurt. There was issues that needed to be healed, and the Lord spoke to me about that, and he said, that's like the body. When a leader falls, they're not just, you know, getting caught in, you know, with their hand in the cookie jar. It's not that simple. What they have done has hurt the body. In fact, there's some situations where they've hurt whole moves. We've lost whole moves of the spirit. We've lost momentum because leaders did not properly watch over their own souls and stepped into sin and fell and hurt the body. So part of the discipline of the Lord is to keep that leader isolated so that the Lord can bring healing to the body that's hurt and bring peace back into the home again. And so he said, I actually do isolate people, and I actually do even allow those that have been hurt to express their pain. And as much as that hurts the transgressor, it is part of their discipline so that they will take ownership and take responsibility of what they've done. So in this situation with my younger son, I talked him through and I got him aligned and asked him to forgive his brother when he was, you know, feeling safe enough himself to do that. And then, you know, that worked out. I was able to comfort him and he was fine again. Then I went back into the bedroom with my older son and walked through the whole situation with him, trying to teach him what had gone wrong so that he wouldn't do it again. You see, discipline isn't so that we can pound on each other, so that we can hurt each other even more. That is not the purpose of it. The purpose is so that we can come out of transgression into right alignment, because when we go God's way, it'll always turn out good for us. It'll always bless the whole house, not only our own lives, but the whole house and the relationships that we're connected with. But if discipline is not implemented, things just get worse. You lower the bar. For example, in a situation in a household where you've got, you know, my two sons, one is beating on another, if I were just to walk into the room and say, oh, you know, you guys are fighting again, and just let it happen, that problem's not going to go away. They'll just have another fight and another fight and another fight because we've let the standard down. We've allowed that to take place. If discipline is not implemented in the body of Christ, lawlessness will increase. And Jesus said that in the last days, lawlessness will increase. And one of the reasons for that is because sin doesn't get properly disciplined. And so the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, when a leader falls, and this is not just leaders, this could be anyone, but I'm just using the example of leaders right now, because leaders, when they are given the privilege to steward things for the body of Christ and to oversee areas, when they're gifted and given a sphere of influence, they are responsible before God and before man to live uprightly. And as Paul said, you follow me as I follow the Lord. Any leader walking with God should be able to say, if you follow me, you will not stumble. If you follow me, you will only get closer to God. You will become more like God by following me, because that's how we should live. You should be able to follow a leader and, you know, walk into uprightness. You shouldn't be falling into sin by following a leader. And so if a leader falls, they incur a stricter condemnation or a stricter discipline from the Lord. And so a lot of times the isolation and the heavy discipline, even sometimes the body's not understanding and in their unhealed heart coming and saying things they shouldn't maybe say. It's not the best thing to say, but God allows it because what that's supposed to do is bring the transgressor to a place of humility and saying, you know, it's not about how I'm getting wrongly treated. It's about how I've wrongly treated you. And at this dinner I was at the other night, there was a leader there that is a very good friend of mine. I love him dearly, who had fallen into a transgression a number of years ago. He was a leader who had a big, big sphere of influence. And what I love about this leader is he's never tried to cover up what he did. And he was sitting there saying, I have to take full responsibility for what I did. I made the decision to sin. I didn't watch over my own soul and I hurt the body. And he was sharing how he did not have people walk with him. He was isolated. He was, you know, hurt, definitely hurt by that. But discipline does hurt. Discipline actually does hurt. And so as part of our love, we need to walk with fallen leaders, of course, and we need to encourage them to come into repentance and get the healing and the restoration they need without endorsing the sin and without giving comfort at a wrong time. That would be called unsanctified mercy. I remember a televangelist, well, a person with a a media ministry, very, very well known. It was discovered that after years of preaching the gospel and calling the body of Christ to high morals, to find that he had lived a compromised life and had this double life going on for years and years and years, was involved in homosexuality and unfaithfulness with his wife, using drugs and everything. And it was a shock to the body. The body was paralyzed because of it. It was hurt. Now, in a situation like that, there has to be an isolation of that leader so that that leader can be healed, get his life right, get the heart, you know, brought back into alignment. But also the body needs time to heal. I mean, that is traumatizing for the body. And yet I heard that very leader complain about the way that he was treated and how, you know, poor little old me, I wasn't treated right and it wasn't right, it wasn't fair. You know, actually, I think that in a case like that, when you've hurt someone bad, even though you're hurting, that's part of your discipline. It is worthy to be addressed eventually, but first take care of the people that you've hurt and take responsibility for that. We must raise the bar. And we must learn to embrace the wisdom of the Lord and the discipline of the Lord. It says in the Bible, and we'll look at this later, that no discipline for the moment is joyful. It doesn't seem, you know, it doesn't make us happy. It's painful. It's meant to be. And God used many ways in Israel's history to show discipline. And they weren't, you know, it wasn't pleasant, but it was the way that he was drawing them back to himself, drawing the heart back so he could bless them at the end. This is very, very important. Now, I sense that there's a leader watching this program that you did have a fall and you were hurt by the reactions of those that, you know, had to deal with this situation. And I'm not saying it was done right, but God had a purpose in it for you. He wanted to bring you where it was just you and him, in the quietness of that, where you humble yourself again, taking full responsibility, and where you're made right with him, then you can be made right with others. And he didn't do it to hurt you. He did it to bring you into right alignment. And you see, if you try to cover up part of the process or try to escape part of the process, you'll never really feel like you totally walked through in the way that you should have. And God wants you to feel clean at the end of the process. And so he says to you, and I know that you're watching this, and he has his hand on you right now. He says, I want to heal you completely. I want to get you completely aligned again to my purposes, to my love. Will you just let go of the bitterness of the way that you were treated in the past? Let go of the offense that you took up and know that I brought you to that place so that you would see your wrong and make it right and humble yourself and walk with me again. There's someone else here that you were actually hurt by a leader. And oh my gosh, it was devastating because you were close to me. You would have laid down your life for this leader, and in fact, you actually sort of did, in a way. You gave up a lot for them, and they hurt you, and you've never been able to get over it. But you know, leaders are human beings, and I'm not saying it's right what they did, but God wants you healed, and right now, I sense His healing balm coming and healing you right to the deepest part of your being. But He wants you also to forgive them and to move on. Receive His touch right now, because I just see it in the Spirit. I see His grace all over you. And so in the name of Jesus Christ, I call you healed. Well, welcome back. I want to sincerely thank those of you who are our partners, our Breaker Team partners, and for those of you who do donate to the ministry. It's how we can produce television programs and get it out to the nations. And we can't do it without you. And from the bottom of my heart, I want you to know how much I appreciate you. Well, right now, I want to look at a scripture. If you could turn in your Bibles, if you have them, to Hebrews chapter 12. And I think we'll start in verse 4. And it says here, "You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share in his holiness. All discipline, for the moment, seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness." You know, I remember when my youngest son, he was about 4 years old, is when he got his first spanking, actually, because he was such a good child. He was peaceful, and he was obedient. And so I didn't actually need to discipline him with a spanking until he was 4. And I remember this particular time he had disobeyed, and I warned him, and he disobeyed again. And I said, "Honey, mommy has to give you a spanking." And he had seen his older brother get spanking, so he knew what it was all about. And he looked at me with these big blue eyes and nodded his head. And he just put himself over my knee. And when I saw his compliance, I was just undone. I thought, oh my gosh, how can I do this? He's so compliant, he's so sweet, and he's not fighting me, he's not resisting me, he's just yielding to the discipline. He was in agreement that he needed to be disciplined, which was very easy for me as a parent. And I have to say, my older son, you know, had a different MO, let's put it that way. But anyways, that day when I saw how compliant my youngest son was, I said, "Lord, I want to be like that. I want you to discipline me early if I go off to the right or to the left. Do whatever you need to do to bring me back into alignment. And I want to accept whatever discipline you want to bring, because I want to become more like you." And so God wants us to accept his discipline, because if we're trained by it, if we're discipled by it, will yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness and will partake of his nature. And what could be better than that? And so don't run from his discipline, but run to his discipline. Amen. The word discipline actually speaks of chastening when you look it up in the Strong's Concordance, and it means correction or to bring back into proper alignment. Now, why does the Lord discipline? Why do you need the discipline of the Lord? Well, first of all, the discipline of the Lord teaches us to partake of his nature. Secondly, it teaches us to align to his purposes so that we're positioned for blessing. I don't know about you, but I love living in the blessing of the Lord. And so if I'm out there transgressing and doing what the word says not to do, eventually that catches up and the consequence of that sin comes against you and it removes you from the blessing. Instead of walking in the blessing zone, you end up living in the curse zone. And who wants to do that? Thirdly, it protects others from the consequence of our actions. So when God disciplines us, it protects others from that leaven getting on them and from sin spreading. Because you know the saying, one bad apple can spoil the whole bunch. So if you do have a bad rotten apple in a bag, you better get it out of there or the whole bag of apples will start getting affected. And I've seen that so often in the body of Christ when an issue of sin has not been addressed and everyone, oh, well, just love them. Everything's fine. But they don't love them with discipline. It spreads like a wildfire through the whole body. The next thing is the question would be, how does the Lord discipline? What are the ways he uses? And first of all, he actually just brings conviction that creates true remorse and repentance. And you've probably had that when it's like a sword going into your heart where, you know, you hear the Lord saying, this is wrong, turn away from it. And you feel that remorse, but it leads you to repentance. So sometimes the discipline is that easy. You just feel it, you respond, finished, done. And secondly, he allows us sometimes just to suffer the consequence of our actions. In other words, he lifts grace off of us and lets us just suffer with our choice. And boy, does that ever teach you how to get aligned. I don't know if you've been in that situation before, but I have. And it's a great way to learn a lesson. Thirdly is isolation. He isolates us from others so that he can protect others. And in that time of isolation, he deals with the things in us that have hurt others. Fourthly, he allows our enemies to conquer us. Ouch. And we see that in Israel's history. He just allowed them to be conquered. A good example is when they lost the ark to the Philistines. Over and over, he had warned them to align and to be disciplined. In fact, Eli was supposed to discipline his sons, but he didn't. And because of that, they lost the ark, and the Philistines ruled over them, conquered them. Fifthly, he withdraws his presence. He withdraws his presence from you. In Psalm 51:11, you know, the psalmist says, please do not take your presence from me. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. And we see in the life of David that he had yielded to the discipline of the Lord. But one of the things that was the hardest for him was that he felt the tangible presence of the Lord lift. Now, the Lord said he'll never leave us and never forsake us. And he won't. He loves us. But he will sometimes allow that feeling, that sense of his presence, the love of his presence that we adore to be lifted for a season so that we can come into his discipline. How to respond to the Lord's discipline? Let me give you just a few things very quickly. Number one, embrace it. Don't run from it. Embrace it. Secondly, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Thirdly, take full responsibility and don't point your fingers at others and blame shift and you know, say it's because of everyone else. Take full responsibility. It'll feel better at the end of the day if you do that. Fourthly, repent from any mistakes that you've made, any transgression, any sin. Turn away from it. Go in the other direction. Number five, receive forgiveness and cleansing from the Lord. If you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you. So don't beat yourself up. Don't beat yourself up. Receive that forgiveness. And even if no one else forgives you, forgive yourself and receive the forgiveness that you have from God. Number six, make the wrongs right with those who you have hurt. And number seven, put the past behind you and move on in His blessing, His love, and His goodness in your life. He doesn't want you to live in that remorse. He wants you to keep going. And if you will move on with Him, there's blessings ahead for you to enjoy. There's a whole life for you to enjoy. And you'll learn from the things that you've walked through so that it'll never bite you again. It'll never be something that you have to deal with again. You'll never, ever have to deal with it again because you learned your lesson. Isn't this awesome? The awesome discipline of the Lord. You know, He loves you so much that when He's ministering this message, even I can feel Him say to you, get ready for the discipline, because the fire of God's going to come. It's going to sweep the whole earth and it's going to burn up the chaff. And some of it might not seem pleasant when it's happening, but prophetically, I'm telling you, this great move of the Spirit is happening and it is going to burn up the dross. It is going to take hold of everything that needs to be devoured by fire. And remember, it's part of His love. Remember that He loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really does.